I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has a power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time have surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. A promise we're making. Let's remain standing and pass God's peace with each other as we greet each other this morning. Wow, a lot of smiling faces here today. Did anybody watch the lunar trip? I watched them take off, and then I watched them land, but kind of lost track of them then. But I wondered as we were doing that, by the show of hands, did you have a preference for which one you liked better? Did you like the liftoff more, or did you like the splashdown more? How many liked the liftoff more? How many liked the splashdown more? You liked them both. How many didn't care at all? I don't know. No, it's kind of fun to watch that. But I'd hate to be in one of those spacecrafts. Gosh, it's tight quarters in there. But anyway, just recently had someone die and raised in this church, and John Groutman and Scotty's uncle. And how many remember Gene Mockentoon? Gene Mockentoon. I had to ask if it was a Mockentoon or a Mockentoon, and it was a Mockentoon, Gene. And is there any word about the service? Yeah. Not yet. And of course, last week we had that area right in there kind of full, because with Denise's family, a lot of them, and of course, a lot of the Schmidt strain in there, and keep prayers going for them, and that especially, you know, we call them services of thanksgiving for the life of so-and-so, and it's good to reflect on what we learned from them who went on before us, to hold on to some of those values that we can. I know I think of my grandpa a lot, and both my grandpas and grandmas, and also, I think I announced, did I announce it last week? Lynn Stockman, she was a Stockman here, raised in this church. And then when I knew him in Hutchinson, Lynn was a Nelson, and she had married a Nelson, and they had three boys, had them all in confirmation class. And then I guess she was divorced, and then wound up and took the name of Martin, and of course, that's one of, I think, Charlie, as we call him, had four daughters, or was it five? Four daughters and one son. Anyway, prayers for them, and prayers for Charlie, too. He's his iron is low, so he just doesn't have an appetite. He's at home. But Barb, talked to Barb yesterday, said he'd lost 20 pounds. But is waiting to get an iron shot. So, oh, by the way, a Lynn service will be at a Lutheran church. It's between Cosmos and, what's that other town? Hector. It's a little church out in the country. And that'll be on Friday, I think, at 11. Prayers for Lauren, as I said, and some of the people that are listed, you know, Donna Schmidt is listed I hate the term shut in, because she gets out, right? And, but she's living at, not Glen Fields, but Orchard Estates, yeah, which is connected to Glencoe Living with Care. And Vianne talked to her yesterday. She's all ready to go home. And she's staying with Jay for a few days. He was released from care. And the house wasn't ready. They were doing some remodeling over there. But now it's ready. But they were going to move Saturday, but the weather was too crummy. So hopefully on Monday she'll get back in her house. And she's got a wheelchair. And Orvi and Doris, she sold her house, as you probably know, right? Reese Schwartz bought it, and she's excited that it sold, and turned out to be a big donor for the rummage sale or the garage sale, which all that stuff disappeared, right? Had a good sale, somebody said about two-thirds of it went to owners who love it and appreciate it. There's a lot of sparkly stuff in there, I remember. And thank you for all that worked on that. Olive Pinsky, of course, Glennis and I try and time our times to see Olive there in Hutchinson when we know Tommy's going to be on the line. So we call up Tommy T., and then he's able to talk to her a little bit and talk to us. That's her husband, Tommy T. Mavis Schutte's at the Haven. Pray for her. Jim Johnson's in Plymouth. And, gosh, Elaine, that was good work with the heart again, your brother. He's home now. And have a happy Easter today. Why am I saying that? It's the Orthodox Easter, right? They're celebrating big time in the Ukraine, even though they're in the midst of a war still out there. And other joys, concerns? James? Oh, you're just fixing your hair. You got to be careful when you put that hand up, you know. Mike? Oh, no. I look for the hand to go up. And in some traditions, you know, we have Holy Hilarity Sunday. Churches do. And we did that a few years in Hutchinson. And it's that Sunday when it's not really a day off, but you're just so happy and joyful because you've had Easter, been through all the Holy Week stuff and the Lent, and you feel like celebrating. I know a couple of years we had the Hutchinson Clown Club come in. And they did clown acts, but it was all kind of centered around teaching a Sunday school lesson or something. And interestingly enough, we had a member join the church, her and her husband. I won't name them, but they were very impressed that they had a church that celebrated that. And so they chose that to be their church. Anyone? Anything else? Okay, well, let's go on then in our service. There it says, and be glad. Yep. still risen indeed. Thank you, Dave. Dave does that, you know. and puts up a message for us to watch, to look at. Call to worship is printed in our bulletin. Not that we haven't been worshiping, but once again, we come to celebrate the resurrection, that God gives us new birth into a living hope. Death has no power over us. Christ goes before us in the new life God offers. Blessed be the God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our faith, tested by fire, is renewed. Our hearts are glad, our souls rejoice. God shows us the path of life. Again, Jesus says to us, "Peace be with you." Come to receive life in Christ's name. We rejoice in God's amazing good news. In God's presence, we find fullness and joy. And we pray together, saying, "Your Easter people gather to praise you, amazing God. Continue to make your ways known to us. Fill us with your presence. We cannot live apart from you. Your counsel and instruction are with us day and night. We have only to open ourselves to your direction. Inspire in us fullness of joy, we pray, as we respond in faith to the risen Christ and embrace the tasks you set before us. Build up our sense of community that we may truly care for one another through all life's trials. Amen." You know, one of the ways which we show that we care, not only for the living, but for those who have gone on, and sometimes we honor them, is with having Easter lilies. And year after year, I've looked at this list, sometimes more closely than others. But the thought occurred to me this week, I know you don't have that anymore, I think, why not do like we do when on the Memorial Sunday or Thanksgiving, when we remember those, just to allow me to go through this list. 30 names contributed to more names on the list. Starting alphabetically with Dale and Diane Anderson, who gave in memory of Donald Schmidt, and also Glenn and Diane Anderson, in memory of Steve Anderson. Bob and Pat Becker gave in memory of William and Carrie Groutman, and Mac and Florence Becker, and in honor of Annie and Etta Becker, and in honor of Max Weedman. Glennis and I gave in memory of our parents, Harrison and Carol Bros, Glenn and Bernice Jedlicka, or as they said, Jedlicka, years ago. Sandra Fredrickson gave two, both in memory of Donald Schutte and Emma and Arthur Schutte, in memory of David Schutte, and in honor of Nicole Fredrickson. Gary and Dale Groutman gave in memory of Orlin and Ella Groutman, Donald Coleman, Phyllis Coleman, Lloyd and Sharon Groutman gave in memory of William and Veronica Mueller, and Albert and Edna Groutman. Mike and Elaine Groutman gave in memory of Bill and Carrie Groutman, Pete Ackerman, Mary Ackerman, and Laura Ackerman. They gave in honor of Jack Groutman. Scott and Carrie Groutman gave in memory of Elmer and Beverly Groutman and Hillard Kaufman, and in honor of Zachary Miller, who, as you remember, was confirmed just a couple Sundays ago. James Leith and Paul Good gave in memory of Mary and Kenneth Leith and Helen and Royal Good. They each gave one in memory of, I would assume, your parents, right? Joel and Elin Leppel gave in memory of Taylor Leppel. as did Tim and Lisa Leppel family and Tom and Marlo family give in memory of Taylor Leppel. Joel and Elin Leppel and Tom and Marlo family and Tim and Lisa gave in memory of Harry and Eleanor Leppel and Danny Leppel. And Marge Stockman gave in memory of Dick Stockman, Les and Evelyn Shrupp, Bob Shrupp, Jeff Raymond, and Mitchell Manthey. Did I miss anyone? Did I mispronounce any names? All right, they shall remain silent. I'm assuming I did pretty well on that. But you know, I don't even pronounce my own name right, the last name. I guess I can throw this in. There's all adults here. It's Holy Hilarity Sunday. You know, growing up in a little town in South Dakota, we'd get new teachers come by, and they'd go down the list, and they'd say, pronounce the name. They'd go, Mary Jo Williams, Scott, whatever, Mike so-and-so. Then they come to my name, and they go, Brian Braz. And the giggling would start from behind me. And I said, what are they giggling about back there? It never struck me until about 30 years later why they were giggling. But you know your own name. It really should be something like Prost. But we don't roll our R's anymore. Diane, what do you think about that? Let's go ahead with a prayer of, no, a song. There is a Redeemer, no matter whether we have lilies or not. And by the way, I think these are all supposed to go. So if you've got room for one, they can still take them, right, Elaine? Yeah. And some of them are opening up now. Well, let's sing, There Is a Redeemer, 308. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever, all for sinners' sins. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving Spirit on earth is done. Kind of at the last moment, right as the bulletin's already been printed up, I said, you know, we've got to have the gospel read again. So I asked James if he'd read that along with, well, I should tell you right now, we have three sermons this morning. The first one isn't a sermon, but it's that beautiful story about Christ arising from the dead and Mary. Come and read to us about that, James. We want to confess first. That's right. I knew there was some reason you weren't getting up. Let's do that. Forgive us, God, for seeking to limit your truth for what we can understand. Forgive us for changing after gods of our own making. We are so busy with them that we forget to open ourselves to your larger reality. We reduce the circles of connection and caring that Jesus demonstrated. Goodness is crucified by our narrow prejudices, and our doubts plunge us into despair. Be to us a refuge, granting us courage to face the questions that haunt us until they lead to deeper understanding. Amen. Now,
a reading from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, James. There's been many sermons throughout the years that have been preached about the meaning of the resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection. And I'm going to read one by Peter, and then James is going to read another one by Peter. You have the words in your bulletin if you want to follow along. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. This one probably preached on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. And it was a big celebration in Jerusalem at this time. And a lot of that fear of the Jewish authorities was diminished that day because the crowds were so vast and were really, it was impossible to do a lot to put down those that believed in the resurrection. So this is Peter's words, probably on the day of Pentecost, reflecting on Psalm 19, where there's talk of being rising from the pit to the path of life. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. And they had no PA systems then, so he had to probably shout this sermon. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, and this is from Psalm 16, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Unquote. And then he concludes by saying this, fellow Israelites, once again, I may say to you confidently, as our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. And foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. And that's from the Hebrew Scriptures as well. Then Jesus, God, raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses. And then later, James is going to read the next sermon on there. It's called 1 Peter, A Living Hope. Probably addressed to Christians who then once again were experiencing persecution, being hauled away because of this theory they dreamt up about Jesus rising from the dead.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, You believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you, James. Stressing that even though he was preaching to a crowd that perhaps had never seen Jesus, they still came to believe by those sermons and by their witness to each other and by that group of people that met together out of love, out of also a fear that they could still be in trouble. There's a few things I want to, a couple things that I think really need to be said and heard in the church all over. A couple things, the way, well, most translations, I don't know if you noticed it when James started reading. Two things to clear up, and by reading, I mean the gospel lesson that he read. After they had assembled, the doors were locked out of fear. Jesus walks in, and he comes through the same door, and he said, "Shalom. See my hands, touch my wounds." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It starts off with the narrator, the writer of John, saying that they had assembled and locked the doors for fear of the Jews. And that's been a line that has been taken out of context over the years and used to say, well, you know, those Jews, they killed Jesus. So they got what they had coming. Huh? A better version is the Jewish authorities, the Jewish rulers, the ones who interpreted the law. And not all of them, but just some. And I've read things to say that the crowd that yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him," maybe wasn't that large. And maybe, I suppose it's kind of a conspiracy theory, but maybe they were paid to say and to yell out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And it's always been my impression that the crowds, the people, loved Jesus. Well, he taught from the heart. He taught the truths. He spoke with authority. He healed people. He was kind. He said, "Welcome the children." He was not rich and haughty. In fact, he said, let's take care of the people. Let's be good to each other. Feed the hungry. Care for the poor. People loved him. But some were jealous. And the authorities, with the day, their big celebration coming up, celebrating the Seder meal, the time when they were freed back in Egyptian times. Thousands, again, flocked to Jerusalem. And the religious authorities were very afraid that there was going to be a riot. There'd be a disturbance. We might have to shut that temple down. Especially since this rabbi went through and turned the tables over and said, "My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And guess who the "you" was? The ones that ran the temple. Well, he crucified him and he rose again, of course. And as you heard that story, Thomas wanted to see for himself, wanted to touch his Lord and Savior. And he did. Yes. Well, he was full of the Holy Spirit then. Jesus had breathed on them. The Ruach, the Hebrew word, the rush, the wind, the Spirit. He gave it out. But then this puzzling statement. I've always had trouble understanding this. Jesus says, according to the translation, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, what do you think of when you hear that? To me, it says, whoa, I have the power to forgive people's sins? I have the power to not forgive them? No, that isn't what it says. So I went back to my old Barclay again, Scottish theologian. He wrote his commentaries and books in the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s, and some 70s. And he helped to clear that up for me just this week. He says, no one can forgive or retain, no one can forgive or retain another person's sins. We might say, I forgive you, but really, the sin could remain with them. It might make us feel better. We might say to someone, well, I'm not going to hold that against you. That's not the same as forgiving. For only God can forgive. Because when we sin against God, you know. We're in that condition. Relying on God. Jesus said, dying on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive, forgive, forgive. The best you can. But it doesn't mean another person. We don't have the power to release someone from the sin or to hold them to it. That's what that means. And so this, these readings today are about carrying on the co-mission. Cooperate. We work together as a church, as the body of Christ. Go preach and teach. As you go, preach and teach with your tongues, with your hands, your feet, your actions. The love of God. It all boils down to the love of God, the nonviolent love for friend and foe. Now, some say that John doesn't end his gospel here where we ended it today in the reading. There's another chapter, 21st chapter, that was added on, not to take away from the authenticity of it or the holy words. And you know that story. Jesus with Peter, and they're talking. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, Peter said. And I remember he's the one that denied Christ three times. And Jesus says again, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Peter says. And he says the third time. And it's starting to sink into Peter by now. The third time he asked, do you love me? So he's giving me a chance to say, yes, I love you three times over as I've forgiven you three, as I denied you three times. Yes, I love you. That's one of the stories, John 21, 15 through 19. And of course, the last one is ends the Gospel of John 20, 20 through 24. The writer talking about many, many things could be written and told about Jesus. Too much. Fill many books. But these things are written so that you might know. The ones who have not seen him but have come to believe through the word, through the preaching of the good news. So I pray these prayers. After we say the statement of faith, 1959 version, it's on the inside cover of your hymnal. Actually, it's the first version that was written when the Evangelical and Reformed churches merged with the Congregational Christian churches, and they all agreed on this statement of faith then, 1959. Let's say together, we believe in God, the Eternal Spirit, Father of our Savior Jesus Christ, and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who would trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his realm, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. So we offer our prayers today, O God, for not only for ourselves and our situation, but all across the world where bad stuff is going on. We think of many others. It seems like there's always war. Battle over territory. Some cases there's people that don't have enough to eat, don't have good water to drink. They're suffering. They're being dominated by others. How do we meet such challenges? How do we march as Christian soldiers? As to war, or how? Help us to fulfill your commission by loving each other the best we can. Help us to stay near the cross, especially as we sing 319, near the cross, near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, feel to all a healing stream flows from heaven. Heaven's mountain, near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river, near the cross. The trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul will find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, love and scenes before me, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Heavenly cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach home just beyond the river. At the cross, at the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. We pray together this prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Your prayer for offering is found in your bulletin. Let's say that together. We rejoice in the inheritance you have given us, O God, and delight in sharing it with others. You have given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have touched our lives with eternity, with indescribable and glorious joy. We want others to experience what we have begun to realize in company with one another and with you. To that end, bless all the offerings of this day. Amen.
We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, our trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.
The old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
And I love that old cross for the dearest and blessed, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the cross, old rugged cross, the cross at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and then exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where's glory forever I'll share. I will cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. Will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Amen.